This is Abe Kiyos recording for Maseches Sukkah Daf Tes Zayin. So we are into Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, and we are about five lines in. We're going back to a statement we made before that you're not allowed to use Bla'i Kalim as Schach. That refers to worn out Kalim, something that used to be a valid Kli, in this case garments. That was Kalim or Makabel Tumah, and your Schach is not allowed to be Makabel Tumah. So even if the substance itself is something you're allowed to use as Schach, once you made it into a Kli, you're not allowed to use it as Schach. So we said before, so again, Gufa Amar Rabbi Ami Bar Tibyomi Sikha Bivloi Kalim Psula. If you used worn out Kalim for your Schach, it is still possible. So my Bloi Kalim, what constitutes worn out Kalim? Amar Rabbi Matlanios She'ein Bohem Shalosh Al Shalosh. So let's say you have these small washcloths, so these small patches that don't have three, that are not the size of 3x3 fingers, meaning they're very, very small. The lochazion, and they're not useful, they're not worthy to be used. Lo la niyim v'lo la shirim, neither for poor people nor for rich people, meaning no one has a use for them. They can't be used as a washcloth anymore. They can't be used as a patch anymore, and therefore they're not a full kli. But since they used to be a kli, we still say that they don't lose their status as not being kosher for schach. And Tanya Kavasi de Rabbi Ami Bar Tivyome, and we have a brisa which does support this. Machatzelis shel shipa v'shel gemi. So if you have these mats that are made of various substances, shiareha afal pisha nifchasu mikishiura in misachkin bohen. So what did they used to use these mats for? They used to use them for sitting on or sleeping on. Then in Japan, once upon a time, I don't think they'd still do it nowadays, they used to sleep on mats. They didn't used to sleep on mattresses. But that's what they used to do. So they had these mats made out of various substances, and they were all grow from the ground, and they should be kosher for schach. But since they were made into a mat, which is designed to be sat on, so we say that they are makabel, a certain type of tumah called tumas medris, and you can't use them as schach. But then they got smaller, so they over time it ripped in half, and now it's smaller than the size for a mat that you would normally sit on or sleep on. So maybe you're allowed to use it as schach nowadays. So we said no. Shiareh, the leftovers, afal pisha nifchashu mikishiura, even though now they're smaller than the size that you would normally sit on, ein misachkin bohen, you're not allowed to use them as schach because they were once a larger mat. Machatzelas akanim gedola misachkin boh, kitana ein misachkin boh. And if you have a mat made of reeds, like our bamboo mats that we use for our schach, so if it's very big, you can use it. If it's small, you can't use it. Rabbi Lezer omar afhima kabelas tumam ein misachkin boh. Rabbi Lezer says, no, you're never allowed to use it because a big mat will also be makabel tuma, and therefore we'll see a little later on Daf Chaf where they talk about mats more at length what the reason for all of this is. Okay, but the point of quoting this brisa is specifically to show that even if it's the leftovers of what was once a proper kli, you still can't use it, even though now if it would have been made that way you would be able to use it, but once it was used to be a kli, it doesn't lose its status so quickly. Okay, now we're going to the second half of the Mishnah. Hachotet begadish, if someone digs a hole in a haystack, so that is puzzle because of tasav alomina asui, because the schach is already there. He just digs out the inside, and therefore he's not putting the schach on. He's making the walls around the schach. So Amar Avuna lo shanu ela she'in sham chalal tefach b'meshech shiva. So Ravuna says, well, that's true that it's going to be puzzle if inside the haystack there wasn't like already an airspace there that was the size of a tiny little sukkah, which means that the airspace was one tefach. Let's say that it wasn't packed in so tightly, the haystack wasn't packed in so tightly, and there was a huge airspace of one tefach's worth, and it covered 7x7 tefachim. Aval yesham chalal tefach b'meshech shiva harezes sukkah. But if there was already an airspace of one tefach and the size of a minimum sukkah of 7x7 tefachim, then this sukkah will count. What's the reason for this? Because the top of the haystack was already providing shade for that airspace. So it's as if the top of the haystack was put on for the sake of providing shade. And therefore, when you dig out the rest, you're just widening the gap around the shade, but it was already put up there for the right reasons. Tanya Amiyachi, we have a braisa which says the same thing. Achote begadish lasos lo sukkah, raise a sukkah. All right, so it says if you dig out from a haystack, it's a good sukkah. V'hanan t'nan in a sukkah. Mishnah says it's no good. Elav shema amina kedrav huna shema amina. So we see sometimes it's going to be good, sometimes it's not going to be good, because sometimes it's there's going to be an opening inside the haystack that the top of the haystack was giving shade to the whole time. And sometimes there isn't going to be an opening, and that's when it's going to be puzzle. Okay, and now we just repeat the same thing, but we say that there were conflicting traditions as to how it was taught. So Ika de Ramile Mirma, there was some who taught this entire thing as a stira, as a contradiction between the two sources. Tnan hachote begadish lasos lo sukkah in a sukkah. If you dig out the haystack, it's no good. V'hatanya harezu sukkah. But we have a brisa which says it is good. So Rav Huna lo kasha. So Rav Huna in this case was actually responding to that statement. He says it's not a kasha. Kan b'she yesham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. Kan b'she yesham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. One case where it's good was there was an airspace inside the haystack that, that was the size of a small sukkah. And the other case of our Mishnah where it's no good was where there was no such airspace. Okay, that is the end of this Mishnah. Now we're going to talk about someone who builds his walls from top to bottom instead of from bottom to top, the way most people build a wall. Okay, so says the Mishnah, Mishalshel defanos milamala lemata. Let's say a person builds his walls downward from top to bottom. Im gavah mina aretz shlosha tefachim psula. If the wall ends before it gets within three tefachim of the ground, then that is not considered a real wall because any. We'll see that it says a goat could just, you know, crawl right into your sukkah. Dafka, goat. Okay, anything could just crawl right into your sukkah, but they say the size of the three tefachim is like the size of a small goat. So it's able to crawl into the sukkah. But if he does it, milmata lamal, if he does it on the way up, im gavoa asara tefachim kshera. As long as it's 10 tefachim tall, even if the schach are way taller than that, the schach could be 10 amos tall, and the walls only go up 10 tefachim, it's still good because we have a rule. Once you have a 10 tefach wall, we view it as going all the way up to the sky. That's halacha Moshe Misinai called good asik mechitzta, that we view the mechitzas as continuing up to the top. Oh, Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi says, Kishem shel mata lamala asara tefachim, kach mil mala lamata asara tefachim. He says, no. Let's say you have a big airspace on the bottom of your walls. You built your walls from the top down. So you built your walls from 10 amos up where the schach is, and then you, you have a frame, obviously, supporting everything, and then you built the walls on the way down, and you left them five amos off the ground, but the walls are 5 amos big, so they're more than 10 tefachim, so they continue all the way down as if they're touching the ground virtually. Says the Gemara, "B'mai komifligi, what is the machlokes? Mar saber machitza tluya materes, umar saber machitza tluya ena materes." One mandamar holds, right? The second opinion, Rabbi Yossi's opinion, is that if you have a hanging mechitza, it does separate the area and it can create a heter. Meaning, we'll see. We're talking here about a case where you want to make an erev or you want to enclose an area on Shabbos so you can carry there. So he says that a hanging mechitza is good. It creates a situation where you can carry there. And one mandamer says no. If the mechitza is not touching the ground, if it's hanging, it does not create a situation where you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. That's not called a real mechitza. It's not awesome. So now we have the following Mishnah. Hopefully I'll be providing you with a picture to go with this. It's much easier to understand if you have the picture. Bor shebein shtei chatzeros. Let's say you have two courtyards. You have two courtyards where each one is fenced off, and there's actually a well that is right in between the two. So ein memalim mimena b'shabbos elam kein asala mechitza asara tvachim bein milmala bein milmata bein betoch ogno. Right, so we say that the only way that you're allowed to go on your side of from your yard and you're allowed to fill up from that well is if there is a mechitza that sections it off for you, and that mechitza can be a lot of different places. How, the mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall, otherwise it's not called a mechitza. So we say, where can that mechitza be located? So we say it can be above the well. Right, it could be the lamata means below, but it doesn't mean underneath the water. It means it could be right next to the water, and bein letoch ogno. Right, so it can even be It can even be inside the well. So Rashi explains what's going on over there, but I'll try to show you the picture so you'll understand what's going on. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, we're going over now to Tez Zayin Amid Beis. Right, he quotes Beis Shammai. So we're gonna save the second part of the statement for Amud Beis.